This time last month, Clark took us to Genesis, and I want just to use a couple of the verses that we've read there tonight again as we take a short look at belonging. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, there's a verse that's been in and out of my mind for weeks on end, and it says this: a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Well, in the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, one being, there is an unbreakable three-stranded cord. And in the topics of believing and belonging and depending, I believe there's an interweaving there, intertwining, and yet much to study in each topic. On Sunday morning, we had the rare treat of hearing about depending. And as I say, tonight, a much shorter, less comprehensive thing about belonging. As members of earthly families, we belong to each other. Husband, wife, parent, child, sibling to sibling. It may be that life's providence has left someone with little or no family left. But if that person has the privilege of belonging to God's family, they are rich indeed, and they are far from being alone or being abandoned. See, belonging is essential for a sense of security. How much richer we are when we have a sense of belonging to God as members of his family. God made us for fellowship with himself, and we see the enormous damage caused by sin entering the world. Firstly, in the breakdown of family relationships. Then, in the desperate disbelief in the Creator God. In the greed and self-seeking of people. And very often, the total lack of concern for others. And I am impacted very often. It's a little quote I've made before, but I'd just like to repeat it. There is a cure for sin. There's the perfect antidote for sin. And the little quote is, life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, Christ the cure. And isn't that wonderful, that day, tonight? The cure for sin is available to all who reach out to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all need a sense of belonging, as with Adam and Eve there. We read in the verse, this, as Adam's quote, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. A sense of a oneness, a sense of belonging together. For in belonging, we find security and acceptance. In and of ourselves, we are nothing. It was a boost to me earlier on, just sitting at the back there, listening to the disc playing, and a quote I'd written down here was indicating how insignificant we are. Frail man, his days are like the grass, and flower and field he grows. We of ourselves are insignificant. But in God we find refuge and strength, and find he gives us help and strength for all circumstances that we might face. As I say, may well be that hard providences have come your way. There may be individuals who are brought so low, and we're aware of the desperate rate of suicide in this country even in the Highlands here itself, we have got to see that people are brought so low that they might come to say, I haven't a friend on whom I can depend. Well, the next bit of that children's song is simply this. If that has been your experience, I haven't a friend on whom I can depend, that's the time to know that Jesus loves you. It's better perhaps expressed in the older scriptures we know, but it's exactly the same thought in Deuteronomy 33 and 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. What a wonder to belong to a God like that, who will put his everlasting arms underneath us, even in the times when life's circumstances make us feel that we're in what's called free fall. It is indeed a wonderful privilege to belong to God. We read so many personal testimonies in Scripture, and we go way back to Joshua and his plea to his doubting people. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then Job and his terrible grief and loss and affliction. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And of course, probably most famous of all, David in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so then we move to the New Testament, and we see John the Baptist there speaking of Jesus and saying, he must increase and I must decrease. And then the woman at the well, again in John 4:29, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. And then for some of us whose faith might be a bit weaker than others, there's the great encouragement of a doubting Thomas, John 20 and 28. My Lord and my God. And so I wonder tonight, do I have a testimony to share? Do you have a testimony to share? Because we ought to have, because in 1 Peter 1 Peter verse 15, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Are we challenged by people? Do we have an answer that we prepare to give? It may be at the simplest level, you're stuck for words, you don't know what to say, but Psalm 46 itself, surely we'd be able to say, God is my refuge and my strength in straits of present aid. Or perhaps if your background in the past has been slightly different, perhaps you'd be able to say this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So we just, each of us, should have a testimony to give of why our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And belonging to God is an eternal relationship. He will prepare us in this world to be with him through all eternity. There's a song I've heard in the past, and it's called He's My Forever Friend. And one of the verses in that talks about from darkest night to rainbow's end, he's my forever friend. And what more can we want than that for encouragement along the way? So then the question arises, when I belong to God, how should I be living? Well, we know from Micah 6 and 8, the Lord requires of each of his children that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly before our God. We were created to worship him. The Catechism has it. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so in that, we are to walk with him in relationship. And what attention and care we need to pay to our walking. We are fickle and changeable, not like Jesus our Saviour, the same yesterday, today and forever. We need to ask him each day to keep us for himself. You and I need to be kept from inconsistency. We heard it from John just recently about Peter. No sooner had the great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," been made than Jesus was having to rebuke him. "Get thee behind me, Satan," as Peter had lapsed to worldly thinking again and not thinking of the goals and targets of his Saviour. And so, "Lord, keep us kept," is a very valid daily prayer for us. And just another little detail in the passing, there's the account of the 10 lepers cleansed by Jesus and sent on their way. How many came back to acknowledge the gift? You know, one of the 10. So in the big things, in the little things, we need to be kept. We must note also this, that belonging to God may bring suffering and persecution. We can read of Christians in Islamic countries and what they are going through these days. We take so much for granted. But we need to consider this for ourselves. The world will love you if you belong to it. But you don't belong to the world. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, "I chose you to come out of the world, and so it hates you. The world hated me first, and so it will hate you." And why is that? Simply because the world does not know the God who sent me. As Christians belonging to God, we are expected to work together in harmony. In harmony in our own fellowships, yes, but in harmony also with other fellowships who may have different views from us. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says this, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, and since we are all one body in Jesus Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us need all the others." We often sing the song when we're together, and we touched it earlier on, "Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together in love." May that be a prayer for us, because belonging to God makes us all part of Christ's body, the church. And when the body parts work against each other, the body fails to function. When they work together, the body functions as it should. So, in belonging to Christ, we are called to be the light of the world. The Word teaches us that the light and the darkness are separate things, separate worlds. But may God grant us wisdom and grace to reach out to those lost in the darkness of this world. We need to fully understand our belonging to God, that we are indeed in this world, but we are not of this world. We are to live to honour him, but we pray he will use us to tell the lost of the living, risen Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is in the world today, and that in our living for him, we would attract those in darkness into the kingdom of his glorious light. We are surely, each one of us here, are very thankful to say, what a friend I have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I would just now like to turn and take a quick look at what in belonging and seeking God day and daily, what developments we might see in our own experience. And I'll turn again, this time to 2 Peter, reading at verse 3 down to verse 11. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brother, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. There will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderfully comforting thought? There is the warning, of course, in verse 9 there that talks about those who are blind were not really cleansed from their former sins. If there's anyone hearing this tonight, could I just refer you back to the book of Zechariah, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 13 and verse 1. There's a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. And that word was spoken hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ surrendered his life in Calvary. But in his laying down his life at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ opened the fountain where there's pardon for all who receive it. And there's a wonderful hymn, an Easter hymn, one of the great hymns of the Church Triumphant on Earth. And the verse is, "Lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of gladness sing, for her Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting." So, in true and close belonging to the Lord Jesus, I would just like to close with a few more thoughts, linking it first to our human relationships. And we all do have some close human relationships, but perhaps the closest of human relationships is marriage. And if that is your privilege, we learn so much more about believing, about belonging. We are made one flesh. There's the joys and sorrows. There's the cares and the concerns. There's the highs and the lows. There's the thick and the thin. But the anchor we have is family worship. And it was passed to Nina and I from my grandmother, a verse from Ephesians 4, verse 26, that says this: "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." And that's an amazing verse if we think about it. We also think what it says elsewhere in Scripture, that if we're going with an offering to God and it comes to our mind we've got an issue with a brother or a sister, we don't go any further. We have to go to that person and make things right there. And one of the huge challenges that I see in life, we are very quick and very thankful to remind ourselves that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. But surely in these two things that I've just mentioned, if there's been an issue with family or friend or whatever, and there's an issue with a brother and sister, surely if we are to expect God's new mercies for a new day, we've got to be right before that new day comes. And so that's just a few thoughts at a human level. So how do I close this thinking in my belonging to God and my relationship with God and you as well? Well, there's a song that we often sing. It'll be familiar to many of you, but it has so impacted me so often, I just want to share it with you just now. The writer is an Adrian Camp, and it says this: "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live." there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sings, curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. So be it for each one of us. Amen.